Hey Joseph, how you doing, everybody? Hey.
Like
to welcome everybody to the Brother Perea Radio Show. Where you say, Robert? Where you say, Joseph?
Oh,
we on the radio, dude.
Oh, good man. How you doing, Punchy?
Doing great tonight, Joseph. Hope you are.
Doing good,
it's
man.
A trying time in the whole wide world, brother. I hope you're doing well.
Man, I'm doing great, man. I just had a good, just ate me some good food, and I said, good gracious, it don't seem like nothing that bad going on outside. I put some chicken drumsticks on the grill and smoked them. And put a, what else I put on them things? Oh, my wife seasoned them down. I put them on the grill. I put them on there and smoked them and grilled them. Man, them things are so good. That's a good drink. So like,
Well, good for you, man. Good for you, brother. It sounds like you're having a good time. Let me take a break right quick. Let me take a quick break and welcome everybody to the Brothers for Real Show tonight. We think God is trying to tell us something, and we'd like to hear what you think as well. So the number to call in tonight is 215-383-3872. Welcome, like I said again, Joseph Gatewood. We'll have Robert Gatewood on the line eventually. Robert's so busy tonight. He's taking a little light break, so we're going to have a Bosses Away sale. You remember when Belk used to have a Bosses Away sale? Did all kind of stuff they claimed that they would do, give all kind of sales and give stuff away because the boss was not at work. So anyway, Robert's not here tonight, so we're going to do some things we wouldn't normally do. But anyway, I'd like to say welcome, Joseph, and understand our Minister Curtis, our brother Minister Curtis, will be on the line eventually as well. And I see we have another caller on the line already. That looks like Miss Kim Harrington. Are you on the line tonight?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry.
Okay. That's okay. How are you tonight?
I'm cooking homemade cornbread for the first time, man. This quarantine got me experimenting.
See what I'm saying? It really does have people experimenting, doesn't it? So it's really, if I could say this, it's really doing, I think I had a conversation with Joseph. It's going to cause a paradigm shift in a lot of things we're doing. I'm talking major things. I mean, we have people now thinking more about being closer with their family. People talking more about working from home. They're realizing that a lot of the things that they're doing away from home, they could actually be doing that at home and actually saving a lot of money in the process. So
I was just about to say, saving money, it's been good.
Say that again.
I was just going to echo what you were saying about saving money.
Yeah. So we're not going to. It's really interesting what's going on. So, but we'll put it in God's hands here. But here's what God likes for us to do now. While we are praying and all that, He likes for us to work. He likes for us to figure things out. It's not just sit idle. While we're praying and waiting on the change to come, we have to do things. We have to stay busy. We have to keep teaching our children. Since we're home with our children now, let's spend more time with our children. Put some wisdom in their heads, and let's not forget to do some physical activity to make sure we're doing some exercise and things of that nature. So we just gotta use this to the best, put the best positive spin on this as we can. Why we're going to cause it's going to cause some serious issues. We're not making light of the problems and issues and grief is causing so many people throughout the world. So, but we have to know things are going to happen, and we just have to try to make the best of it. So things are going to happen, but we just have to try to make the best of it. Okay, Joseph, I'm going to take a break on what I was talking about now and hear a little bit from you. Hear a little bit more from you now. What's going on in Charlotte, man? How are things going in Charlotte?
Well, I just like to reiterate just what you were saying about this paradigm shift. Yeah, people are becoming closer with their families, and people are cooking at home. People are reassessing the way they do things and coming up with innovative and new ways to do things. People are learning that a whole lot of things that they thought they couldn't do without, they can do without. And another thing about this virus situation is it's exposing all of the ills of our society. Just like, we have all these young people in jail on excessive bonds, and a lot of them can't get out just because they can't come up with the few $100 it takes for, to go there, to get out on bond. And now they're trying to determine what they're going to do with all these people because of the coronavirus, and they're living in these close quarters. And, of course, they can't keep them in there forever. And naturally, they can't get a death sentence, for things as simple as having an unpaid speeding ticket. And they went to jail and got on bond, and now they can't come up with the bond money. Now they're stuck in jail, and we have a coronavirus. You got situations where, of course, we know about this big aircraft carrier over on the coast of Guam, where they have 4,000 sailors in a ship. And of course, now they have the coronavirus in there. And of course, now they're trying to figure out what to do with these men. And that just goes back to the problem of the United States feeling they have the need to have large battleships and aircraft carriers all over the world, doing what they call gunboat diplomacy. In other words, they don't like you. If they can't talk to you, they just put a big battleship up and aim it at you, and that way they get their way. So a lot of the ills of society are coming out. What to do about the homeless people. You got homeless people out here on the streets. How you gonna go about, getting them tested and getting them medical care and all that. You got the issue of the undocumented so-called people in these concentration camps. Really, what you gonna do about that? In other words, with every ill you can think of in society, all these people that don't have medical insurance, and everything that's wrong with this country, this virus is bringing it out.
Well. So, and here's, I heard somebody, an interesting thing, a medical professional say the other day, said this is just, to use an interesting word, Kim, this just compounds the problems. See, for instance, in medical, the medical field is already kind of stressed out. So now, people are still having heart attacks, people are still having the flu, people are still having diabetes, people are still having all the other ills. Now, This is really touching. This is really a problem, And we don't have the right guy in place to handle it, unfortunately. Some person that's handling this needs a pure heart, and not worry about somebody that doesn't worry about the money, about and their egos and stuff like that. And we're in a serious situation here as far as leadership in the country.
Right.
And it's unfortunate.
And you brought up about the healthcare system is already overloaded. It's interesting that you brought that point up. Just like another thing too, I'm gonna throw this in before I get to the point that I was going to make about the 480,000 people in this country that die every year from smoking cigarettes, 480,000. And, of course, you got 16 million people right now in the United States with health issues related to smoking. And, of course, that puts a burden on the healthcare system. So what you got there, you got a situation where you got the profiteers making money from people being sick and dying. And then, of course, and at the same time, they're putting a strain on the healthcare system. Smoking cigarettes is the number one preventable cause of death in the United States and perhaps the world, because in the whole world, 7 million people die a year from smoking cigarettes. But back to your point of the overwhelmed healthcare system, see, a lot of people have been wondering for years, why do you go in the hospital now? They kick you out in 2 days, 3 days, give you a surgery in the morning and kick you out in the evening. Well, the reason they do that is to cut down on expense, so they don't have to build new hospitals. They don't have to have so many beds. You follow me? And so, mm-hmm. So now that's why when you have a situation like we have now, you don't have a whole lot of beds. You don't have a lot of facilities, because the CEOs that's running the hospitals, even though I always thought they were non-profit organizations, but you got CEOs making in excess of $10 million over hospitals, and of course everything they do is based on profit. And so instead of them building new facilities, building larger and bigger hospitals that can accommodate more people and hire more people, what they do, they try to rush in and rush out. You know, you recuperate at home, and that's one of the reasons right now why we have such a shortage of hospital facilities. Just another one of the ills that this thing is bringing out, this coronavirus, another one of the ills in our society. I'm finished, Leon. Hello? 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 Hello?
I'm here, Joseph. I'm not sure what Mr. Gatewood is. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me, Mr. Gatewood? Hello, can you hear me?
Hey, everybody. Kimberly, you still on the line?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm
okay,
here.
I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. Okay, I hear you. I switched over. We have Miss Ashley Wilson on the line. Anson County's first. She's Anson County's first COVID case. COVID-19 case. And she was... I'm getting a clicking on the line. Is that you, Kim? I don't know. Anyway, she's gracious enough to call in tonight and discuss with us on how she's doing. She wants the world to know how she's doing. But anyway, Ashley, how you doing tonight? Welcome to the Gatewood,
hi,
to the Brothers for Real Radio Show.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We appreciate
it. I'm Ashley. She's doing pretty good today. This is day
two. Hi,
hello. This is day two for me with no fever. My temperature has been 98.2 and 98.3. It has not been any higher. I'm doing pretty good. I'm staying up on my vitamins, keeping my immune system up. I am drinking my tea, lemons, water, ginger ale, Gatorade. I'm keeping all my fluids in me. I'm keeping up with soup because I have, you know, been losing my appetite, but I have been still trying to keep myself with something in me so I can't, you know, so I won't just fall short and give up and fall weak. So I'm fighting this thing. I think I'm going to get over it.
Oh, you will. We're praying for you. There are a lot of people praying for you. Let me just say I'm so glad that you're sharing with us tonight and that you're doing okay and you're doing better. So thank you so very much. I have a question. How did you learn that you had it? Did you have symptoms and go to the doctor? Share with us how you learned your diagnosis.
Okay. I work in the healthcare field. So when I went to work, we had found out that we had a case, and I basically found out that I had came in contact with that person due to that was my patient. So basically from then on, we took the precautions of me and everybody else, rest of the staff, checking their temperatures, keeping up with them, you know, how you feeling, everybody checking with you, and also checking and seeing how you doing to make sure, you know, nothing ain't changing throughout the day-to-day. So a week went by, and I was still feeling fine. This past Saturday when I went to work, I started feeling kind of warm. I thought maybe it could have been my allergies with the weather change and everything, but I really didn't feel it was a big need of me being sick that day while I was at work. But as the time continued, I felt my body temperature kind of rise. They took my temperature that morning before I got to work, and it was, I think, 99.1. And before that day out, before I left, had to leave work, my temperature was 99.8. And for me getting overheated while I was at work, I already knew then something was wrong because it's a cold area, so I'm always cold. So for me to be hot and be sweating, I already knew then something wasn't right. So I basically had to go get something home. They told me to just quarantine myself. I just got what I needed, like my fluids and stuff and whatever I needed so I wouldn't have to leave. They called me Sunday to let me know where I was going to go to my testing site at. On Monday, I went that morning for my test, which they stick a tube up your nose to test you for it. It's really uncomfortable.
Can I say that's what I've heard? I've heard that test is very uncomfortable.
Yes, it's something going up your nose. Like I don't like nobody bothering my nose. Like the way it's very uncomfortable being something stuck up your nose. Because it got to take it kind of far, you know. So
yeah, that's what I've heard. One of the basketball players talked about that.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable. Like, I had to pull back, even though the woman, like, literally you had to still kind of go in, but she said she got enough to where, you know, it was able to be tested, but that was uncomfortable. But basically, they told me it was going to take 24 hours, and which it did, because the morning, which was yesterday, I got the phone call, and I was notified that I was tested positive. So basically that made me being the first person in my county, which is Anson County. I am the only person in my county because at the end of the day, like, I was being careful because I know I had a case for my job. I still did the precautions, you know, washing my hands and, you know, hand sanitizing and kind of keeping my distance from everybody.
Are you quarantined?
Yeah, I'm home.
Yes.
I'm quarantined. I can't come out. My mom, my family, I really can't deal or be around them. It's kind of hard. And, you know, I'm a family person, so, you know, not being able to see your mom or your dad or your cousins and stuff when you always around them, you know, it's kind of hard. But everybody's been basically calling, checking up on me, my friends, basically got stuff for me and brought it to me, you know, so I got.
So you live alone?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh.
Okay.
Thank you for clearing that up, because I was thinking that we had two cases in Anson County, but there's only one, and that's you.
No, it's just me. I'm the only and first case in Anson County.
Oh.
And the only reason why that is the case because of the fact that I work in the medical field. If I didn't work in the medical field, I probably wouldn't have been exposed. But seeing though people that work in the medical field are exposed to a lot more things, and we are the first to be exposed. So I'm pretty sure I might not be the only one eventually, but for right now, I am the only one in Anson County with this.
Well, we appreciate you as a healthcare worker.
Absolutely.
And I'm just saying, we appreciate you as a healthcare worker and know that you're on the front line. I have a friend who works at a hospital in Georgia, and she said her supervisor was rotating people on the floors where they have coronavirus patients. And so she went in one day and she worked with the students. They have their PPEs and everything, but she also has an elderly mother at home. So she worked with the patient. And then the next day when she showed up for her shift, she was not supposed to be on that floor, but her supervisor was going to put her on that floor again and not, you know, do the normal rotation that they've been doing. And so she was very concerned about that and actually decided to go home because, you know, she doesn't mind working it every other day, but she said every day was putting her at greater risk of taking something back to her mother. So all of you who are out there having tough decisions, I just thank you so much, and I pray for you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you so very much. Thank you so very much, Ashley.
Somebody got to do it. Somebody got to stand up and try to fight and actually help others. If we don't have nobody out here doing our job, being in the medical field, then who will we all have? Like, it wouldn't be nobody out here to help anybody.
Exactly.
Ashley, I have another brother that just came in. He stepped out. He was on the line earlier. My brother Joseph, he lives in Charlotte. Now, where do you work, Ashley? Where were you? Can you tell us that?
Well, I can't.
Is that information you can share?
But I can only give you where I'm located. I can't give you my exact job of where I'm located.
I
can tell you I'm.
I got you.
I work in Concord.
Okay, got you. Yeah, my brother Joseph, you stepped out a minute. This is Ashley Wilson. She's Anson County's first and only case that we're aware of at this moment of the COVID-19 virus. Do you have any questions for her, Joseph?
So you, how are you doing? First of all, I want to send our thoughts and prayers with you, and we are hoping that you have a speedy recovery.
Thank you.
Where do you work at?
She can't tell.
I work in Concord.
She's in Concord. That's all she can tell you.
Oh, you work in Concord.
I'm a CNA. Yeah.
Oh, you're a CNA. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that people in position like yours on the front line were more vulnerable to getting that virus. So we do appreciate your service and all that you're doing for the community and all that you are doing to help us in this crisis. And I'm so sorry that you did come down with the virus, but I'm hoping and praying that you will be okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so do you have any advice that you haven't given already for us who don't think we have it?
To be perfectly honest with you, all I can really say to everybody is just stay up on your vitamin C. Like, you got to boost your immune system. For those who smoke, you know, try to, like, limit your smoking because it is attacking your respiratory. And I am a smoker, so I have also stopped smoking due to this situation because at the end of the day, all the little breathing and everything, I need every breath I can take, you know. Like, I don't need something to actually hurt my chances of breathing while I'm trying to breathe. So, you know, just try to be on your hygiene when it comes to washing your hands because hand sanitizer is not going to be the only thing that helps you. You got to use soap and water and actually be a little more careful when it comes to you sneezing and coughing in people's faces. Because some people, they'll just cough and won't even think about putting their hand up or just covering their mouth. You know, they'll just do it and go. And, you know, that's not going to help the spread. That's going to make it worse. So, even though I've been doing my part in my county, I feel my county is safe. But if people go out this county and travel, I can't say what you're going to bring back to your county. Because it's actually everywhere now. So just stay up on your fluid. Keep your fluids in, orange juice, ginger ale, Gatorade, water, most definitely tea. I've been drinking hot tea, and honestly, I feel like that's been what's been helping me. A lot of teas, different types of teas to help boost my immune system up. And just me sitting back praying, you know, because that's all I got right now.
When were you first diagnosed?
I was diagnosed yesterday. I found out yesterday.
Oh, okay.
She found out, yes, but she was exposed like a week or so ago, you said, aspirin?
Yeah, but I didn't have no symptoms or signs until Saturday.
Right.
And
did you have any...
14 days, so, yeah.
Ashley, did you have the shortness of breath as a symptom or not?
No, even though I'm a smoker and I have bronchitis, no, that's never been a sign of mine, and I thank God for that. My signs was more so flu-like symptoms. I kind of thought I might have kind of had the flu. At first, I actually thought it was more sinus. But then when my body started to ache and I caught chills, that's when I was like, okay, I might just have the flu. So I just had the fever, body aches, and chills. Them was my only three symptoms and signs I had. I have a cough, but I had a cough before this due to my bronchitis. But that's about it. Like I really didn't have no signs or anything to where I felt that I had it. I just felt like I was coming down with something minor.
Okay.
Well, I'm grateful for that your case appears to be very mild. So thank you, Jesus, for that.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you. I'm not going to hold you up.
I think you need to get your rest.
We appreciate you calling in and sharing. So is there anything else you would like to share before we let you go back? We really appreciate you calling in. This is amazing that you agreed to do this. We really appreciate it. Show that you really care.
I don't mind. You know, I don't see a need of really trying to keep it as a secret because at the end of the day, if I live through it, this is going to be my testimony. So this is something I wouldn't mind sharing with others because you never know. There's some people that can't even share this story because they are no longer with us. So with me being able to still be here, feel like everybody should know, what I went through. I can't speak on everybody because everybody having different signs and different symptoms. So I can just go off of what my body is doing and what I'm going through. And, I feel like, I'm going to get through it. Because I got one on my side.
I tell you what, the way people keep describing the way this test, I don't know.
I'm saying you can get through it. It's not that. If you're not used to getting it to stuck up your nose, then, it's going to be uncomfortable. And that's all it was. Like, it's literally an uncomfortable feeling to have something going up your nose and you're not used to that. Like, usually when you go to the doctor, you'll be like, they'll see something that's like, you'll be like thinking they're going to check your throat or something instead of your nose,
Right.
It's just uncomfortable.
So they stick this thing pretty good little ways up your nose, and that's going to keep a lot of people from getting tested.
Yeah, that's how you get tested, and that's how I found out.
Wow.
Right. Everybody.
So tell us a little bit more. Since we got you on the line, tell us a little bit more about yourself. What you like to do in your spare time?
To be honest with you, I'm the type of person I like to travel. I don't like to sit home. This is the most I ever sat home before. I always like to go. I like to go places. I like to see things. I like to do things. I like to shop. I like to go visit family. Like, I'm not used to this. I don't sit home and just watch TV.
Right, I know. It's kind of getting up to me too, you know.
It's
but you go outside and nobody out there.
Yeah.
Hey, you go outside, nobody outside. it's a little different out there right now. But that's what it's gonna take. I understand to get this curve, this thing they call this curve down. It's gonna take everybody being diligent to staying in and.
Yeah.
And paying attention to the protocols as far as how to keep this thing under control. But it's a tough situation we're facing right now. I just have to be pretty straight up about that. It's a pretty tough thing we're up against.
Oh, yeah, because, see, I got older parents, and my father has health issues. So it was really scary for me, and I'm still scared because at the end of the day, like before I even knew I had anything or even had any type of signs, I was going to see my mom and dad.
Oh. Yeah.
So,
right.
I'm still
that's the tricky part
as far as when it comes to my anxiety, because if anything happened to my dad, I know it would be my fault, but it won't really be my fault, but it is going to be my fault because I went there. So that's why it's like I just got to keep myself focused, grounded, faith, prayed up, and, you know. Just get through the day, just not even think about it, really. Like, if I'm feeling better and I'm kind of feeling good about the situation, just, you know, just keep being positive about it, really.
Right. I feel you. We got another caller on the line. I want to see if the other caller wants to have a question. If they ain't caller, 962, you have a caller? You have a question? Or comment?
I'm Leon, this is Brenda. How are you doing?
Hey, Brenda, how are you doing? Thanks for calling.
Good. No, I just logged in, but I think your comment was to start trying to tell us something.
Say that again.
And with that, no, I see I logged on. You said God is trying to tell us something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is. I think he's trying to tell us and show us something. First of all, I think he's trying to show us the ones that truly have faith, the ones that truly know he's capable of doing what he said he would do in the Bible, and the one that is pretending and got their eyes focused on man and what man is saying is happening all around them. So that's what I think with that is that he's showing the ones, where's your faith? Is your faith truly in me or is it in the world system? Because a lot of people, which I go around, because I am in the school system and I model, that they are just freaking out about this. But they say they are Christian. And I'm like, you can't freak out. Yeah, it's a disease that's killing people. Yes, it is. Just like the flu have been killing people. Just like heart attacks have been killing people. Just like all these other diseases have been killing people. But a lot of things, the habits and the things that we do hadn't changed yet. We still eat the same unhealthy food. That may cause you to have heart attack, have your kidney to shut down on you. You have stroke. We still hadn't changed that. But they took this disease to rampage and scare people, shut down everything. And that's why I say with this, the God I serve, the God I know, can, if he wanted to, could change all of this that's going on in this world right now. He can change it, but he chooses not to, because I think that's what he's trying to show us. Where's our heart? Where's our faith? Is it in the system? Is it in money? Is it in wealth? Is it in your job? And all of this is not secure, because when we came into the world, we came with nothing. When we leave, we're going to leave with nothing. but we get scared and all out of complacent and all of this other stuff. But truly, where is your faith? Like I tell my daughter, is a physical assistant. She's close to a doctor where she's working 12 hours in Indianapolis, and she's seeing this full-blown, all of this. And see, and sometimes I have to talk to her, and I'm like, no, you wasn't trained this way. Where's your faith? Where do you supposed to go? Where do you supposed to go when you are like this? Who do you supposed to turn to? Who will give you peace when you're going through things like this? And I'm like, and I'm seeing the ones that claim is the biggest one that is fearing and doing all of this stuff and going, doing all this stuff. And I'm like, who? We can't take all this stuff in. And if we die today, we're gone. It's not because of this disease. Maybe it's your time to go. You're not looking at that. And that's what, when I seen your title, I'm like, I think God is showing the time, which is he's drawing near and he's drawing nigh. That's time that he's showing us that we can't continue doing what we are doing. We are serving man and not serving him. And then now we're all afraid and we all doing this. Yep. Like now, like me, they got this curfew in Charlotte. Yeah, I go out. Yes, I do. I go out, but I know what to do because I've been in the health field for a while. I wash my hand. I go out, but I'm not going to and just going everywhere around everybody. I go around my sister to check up on her, which I had my nephew to die. And now they got his body and they on waiting to see for what they can do. Is they going to bury it? They going to hold, try to hold out to this thing. So I'm like, okay. It's still like you got your stuff focused on man. That's all I got to say. That God is trying to show us something. And if we, and eventually, are we learning something from this? Or are we realizing what he's trying to tell us? But it is what it is. And that's how I feel. I'm like, I'm not afraid of this disease. I know what I got. And I'm like, if I got this disease, I have peace about it that I know where I'm going. But I'm not going to let this control because when you start getting fearful and all of this stress, it's the main killer of you. It'll kill you faster than this disease. Because once you let out that chemical that comes from stress, it goes to your weakest part of your body that you have problem with. And if you have a problem with your heart and you don't know about it, it's going there and you have a heart attack. If it's going closer, you got something going on in your brain, it's going there. You have a stroke. You have aneurysm. So stress will kill you faster than the disease. And people are afraid of the disease, but they're not looking at other things that can kill them. But see, that's what I'm saying. You can't just take this disease and just go rampage with it because it's here. Man have done it but we are looking at what man doing, but see, man have taken it to do it. But see, some of them are benefiting from this, some are not. But see, man, that's why I say you have to take your eyes off the man and put your eyes off God and what he is doing and is showing us as of today. And nobody seems to want to do that. But see, he's just sitting and seeing. He knows the ones that have that true faith and do trust in him that he's going to. He's always taking care of you, and he will continue taking care of you. And I can give a testimony because when I couldn't walk and I had nobody else to depend on but him, and that's when my faith grew because I knew I had everybody, and everybody I reached out did help. And the only one that helped and brought me through it paid my bills when I didn't have a job because it was during the summertime. And my short-term disability, I was told, couldn't take a place because I wasn't on the job. So that made me not have money coming in. And I'm not working. I couldn't. I'm like, okay, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to pay my – but I went 6 months and without any kind of income. But God provided. He made certain people just stepped up, not knowing what my story was, and reach out and pay my rent, my car payment at the time, and all of that. And it was taken care of. It was nothing I did. It was him showing me where my faith and who I need to depend on. And that's why I'm saying,
Brent,
he's showing us something, and we just got to learn it.
Absolutely. Brent, I was just going to say, I'm sure your words have been encouraging to Ashley as they have been to me. Like you say, we just, like, what we were admiring about Ashley is how she's not letting this get her down. She's just coming out and sharing her information with the world and trying to use this as an opportunity for her to help people in the same way. And that's clearly what you're trying to do, too, encourage people to be keep their faith, not let things take these things too seriously. But no things are going to happen, but still know you're going to have to take notice of what's happening. We can't overlook what's happening. We have to use common sense in these situations. Common sense, faith, and everything else. We have to put it out. Everything we got in our toolbox, we have to use it now, you know. So we appreciate that message you just gave us. You do realize that we have the first Anson County person on it at the moment. COVID case on the line is Ashley Wilson. Do you realize that, Miss Brenda?
No, I just came out. I didn't realize who was on the line or what happened.
Very good.
That I
very
just
good.
Got on well, the line.
Well, you'll be interested to know that Ashley Wilson, who was Anson County's first COVID-19 case, she's on the line as we speak, sharing her experience and information with us tonight.
Oh, okay, and I missed it. Okay. Well, I hope.
You'd like to say hello to her? She's on the line. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
But I with that, what he just said, I just want you to know that if you believe God, he's always taking care of you, and he will continue to. You just got to realize and just depend on him and go to the word, because that's the word of encouragement to give you. Because even in the medicine field, when I was in there, yeah, they tell you that is the key of your healing. You will heal faster in the hospital, and they know that, because that's where they have the chaplain there with that. So with that saying, you just got to depend on him, because I know for a fact he won't let you down. He won't fail you.
Oh, I already know. My body being
see.
Healed. Like, the
Jesus,
Lord is my name. My body's been a long time ago, so I already know I'm getting through this, and I'm gonna get through this. Like, he ain't gonna give me too much to bear, because he give his strongest battles to his strongest soldiers. So therefore, I already know this is just my battle I got to go through, and he gonna help me through it. So that my faith ain't never been an issue, and then plus I have a praying family and mom, so. That's never been my
Amen.
Opinion.
Amen.
Amen. Joseph, you still on the line?
I'm here.
Miss Harrington? You guys are still here? Okay, God bless you. Look, okay, cool. You guys, we're going to let Ashley go. We were trying to let her go about an hour ago.
Exactly, yeah.
Ashley, we really appreciate you being here and sharing your moment with us.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I have been updating my stories on Facebook, so if you're friends on Facebook, you can always keep up with my story until I get through to this. So,
okay. A lot going on somewhere. And also, Ashley, I just dropped in your Facebook inbox a link to this show so you can replay it, share it, listen to it over and over, however you want to do it, you know. And feel free to call into the show. We're here every Wednesday. Feel free to call in next week if you'd like to call in and give us another update, give us some more, share some more information with us. Like I said, we're here every Wednesday from 7 to 8, the same phone number. Like I said, just drop your inbox a link to this show that you'll be able to listen to and share with your friends. And We'd like to say we just appreciate you being here. So what we're going to do right now, we got about 13 more minutes left on the show. But I need to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick music break, guys, and I will be right back. Actually, you don't have to go, but I'd like to say if you want to go now, you can do so. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and close this show out, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brother for Real Radio Show, 215-383-3872 is the number to call in. We hope you'll call in and listen and share some information with us. Talk to you in just a little bit, okay?
As I'm getting older, y'all, people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following in the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinemas, y'all. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. 215-383-3872 is the number to call. We really enjoy talking to our. We wish you'd come in and call in and talk to us every now and then. That makes sense. We really love talking to ourselves, but we really would like to hear from you every now and then. Like I said, welcome again to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. Looks like everybody's done dropped except me. I'm sure that's a mistake. Well, anyway, we're back. We'd like to thank Ashley Wilson for calling in. God bless her for sharing her time with us tonight and through it all, trying to make sure that the community is aware. We really do appreciate that. I'd like to share some sad information tonight as well at Livingstone. One of my best buddies at Livingstone College, Mr. Gus Jones, passed away, I understand. He's a very good brother. And we're very sorry that happened to him. So we just keep the Jones family in our prayers, as well as the James family, Mr. Kenneth James, one of my classmates at Livingstone, passed away. So we'd like to keep those families in your prayers and all families across the country and the world that are experiencing these types of situations. So God bless each and everybody. I understand our producer of the show, Mr. Robert Gatewood, has chimed in here at the very last minute. Why did everybody drop off on me? Well, all of a sudden, there, Robert, everybody dropped at the same time. What happened?
Yeah, something happened, Leon. I'm not sure exactly what happened because I was kicked off as well. And
I've been kicked off.
It went blank. Yeah.
Somebody
called back
off.
In.
I've been kicked off.
But we had some cracking noise earlier. What do you say, Joseph?
Hey, Joe. How you doing, man?
Hey, Robert. How you doing, brother?
Doing good, bro.
Yeah, this is about the third or fourth time I've been kicked out and had to come back in.
Yeah, but I guess last time about four people got kicked off at once.
I don't know what's going on,
but we've seen
we had some static. We had some strange static in the land too earlier, Robert. It was a clicking, messed me up all night long. Whatever. So what I say, Robert? We have Miss Ashley Wilson on the line, and she's Anson County's first COVID-19 situation. And she was gracious enough to come and call in tonight and share her experience with us and share some information on how to help prevent it and all that. So we really appreciate her doing that. And, of course, we invite her to come back anytime she likes to give us an update on what's going on with her. Yes, sir.
I'll have to go back and check that out, go back and listen to that. That sounds like it was interesting information.
Leon, one thing I want to say, Leon.
Yes, sir.
Leon, it was something I did want to say because I was getting ready to say it when I got kicked off because I was just talking and all of a sudden I was gone. But but I did want to say that there's an interesting statistic came out in Charlotte that the African Americans are making up a higher disproportionate number of the COVID-19 cases in Charlotte. I don't know how this playing out over the rest of the country, but in Charlotte, that's an issue of concern that the African American population up here has a disproportionate number of the COVID-19 cases, and several people are speculating as to why that is. And of course, they're saying a lot of things like such as that. One person said African Americans are getting tested at a higher rate, and they said they don't have any statistics to substantiate that claim. And then somebody's saying it's because the type of jobs that African Americans do, just like the work that the young lady was on the hour that you had as a guest a few minutes ago. You know, people on the front line, CNA workers, and you know, people in other jobs where they have a little more contact. One of the things I had said early on is because there's a lot of misinformation been circulating throughout the African American community, and I've had to straighten some folks out on it. And so that might be one of the reasons too why we have such a high incidence in Charlotte. You know, and I was very candid with some people. I said, "You all keep spreading this ignorance around us. We're gonna have a lot of dead Negroes in Charlotte." And when I said that, I didn't know I was being prophetic, but it's turning out that we do have a higher incidence than any other group in Mecklenburg County.
But Joe, one of the downsides of the internet is the ease at which you can spread disinformation and misinformation. And
that's
because
right.
People send out this information that hasn't been vetted, they don't even know the original source. And next thing you know, they're sending it to all their family and friends. It's like, where did this information generate? Who gave you this information?
Right.
Even if it's good information, you should do your own vetting before you start handing it out to people that you care about.
Right.
Just put on a darn mask and a doctor's coat and start talking like they're doctors. You know, it's all kind of stuff going on there.
Yeah,
but some of them don't even do that.
Huh?
Some of them don't even do that. Some of them don't even try to disguise it. It's just some guy sitting there spouting out what he feels is the gospel, and people believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said that before these statistics came out. I said I said, I told this lady, after y'all keep spreading this ignorance, that's exactly what I told her. I said, y'all keep, because somebody was spreading some ignorance talking about black people can't get the coronavirus. Like Trump. The coronavirus is a hoax. It's a government hoax and all kind of stuff. I said, and I just came out and I was just blunt with it because I try to nip stuff in the bud when I hear ignorance. I said, because my position was, even if it doesn't turn out to be as bad as they're saying it's going to turn out to be, I said, we still have to proceed with caution because pandemics are real. And I posted on Facebook, the 10 last words pandemic that you know, hit the world. You know, just let, because see, Trump has been spreading a lot of ignorance also. And one of the things that he's been saying that really irritates me every time he gets up there and says, this is unprecedented. I said, no, this is not unprecedented. The world has seen a lot of pandemics. So.
Yeah, that guy, man, that's a pretty, that dude's a big problem.
Yeah, he's a big problem.
You know what?
Joe Biden said something that was, he said something during one of those presidential debates that, you know, just should go down in history as his best comment. He said the best thing Donald Trump can do in this situation is just be quiet, quit talking. He said if he just shut up, that would help solve a lot of the problems we have.
Hey, Joe, you had said something earlier about how the pandemic seems to disproportionately affect people in an African-American community. I think it's because, one, besides the misinformation, another reason is because it's economic. Many, this tragedy, crisis does not affect everybody equally. Like your case, my case, and many people who make more money than we make will actually, they don't have to leave their home. They can make their money either passively. They have other people working for them. They have technology working on their side. But if you're a cashier or if you're a driver and if you're somebody who's doing communication, has to communicate directly with the public in a low-paying job, you either do that or don't eat. And so, of course, that's going to disproportionately affect people of low income, which happens to be mostly people of color.
Well, you know, that's
an economic cost.
That's one of the factors. That's one of the issues they brought up in the news article, what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
They said that was a fact.
Economic cost. Rain doesn't fall on everybody equally over here, unfortunately. And I drove through the auto part shop. I was talking about my oil the other day, and I went to the shop, and everybody in there was people of color. There was a white guy in the store. So if Corona visited that store, it would have automatically helped the numbers again against our favor, because the owners and the franchise owners, they're probably sitting up in their homes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's just the reality of it. But Joe, you said something earlier. I was listening. I was kind of listening while I was working. You were talking about how the virus is affecting certain people, but it is amazing that there are some people. Nobody is immune to it. But there are certain demographics who are bearing the brunt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a lot we can do about it except bring justice. We're talking about, exactly what you were talking about, how it has highlighted the flaws of the capitalistic American system. How this everything that we do, it has been exacerbated. One that you didn't mention, but I've mentioned on several occasions, is this cash bail system. And why do we have people in prison in the first place who are too old to hurt anybody or can't afford bail or on nonviolent offenses? It's highlighting once again the inequities in the system. So that, your point is very good. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
You mentioned that one too? Okay, yeah. But that's one that's glaring to me.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, like I said, it's like you said, exacerbating all of the ills of our society. It's bringing it to the forefront. And yep. I hope this will yep. be and I hope this will be a signal or a light or something, a light to go off in somebody's head and they say, look, we're doing things wrong. We need to change the way we do things. Because
yeah, it's a wake-up call.
It's a wake-up call.
We can call it like the highlight.
Not to mention on top of all those other things we have, the ills in our community, not to mention the incompetence of the leadership in the in this country.
Because
on top
really,
of all that.
Yeah, because a lot of these things these guys have been saying, I mean, a lot of things are just common sense that they overlooking. You know, it's overlooking. Yeah. You know, just like I was looking on the looking on TV the other night, they had somebody on MSNBC. They had these two teachers. They had two teachers, and they had they took their high school lab. And they started doing coronavirus testing people for coronavirus. And they said they could have a test back in 4 hours, you know, so with the, you know, the traditional way they're doing it, it might take 2 or 3 days. But I told Patricia the day one, I said, why they keep talking about tests? I said, anybody with a laboratory and a microscope can do it, can test you for coronavirus. So I said, why did it take these folks like 4 months into the 4 months into the virus, you know, to figure out that they could other people can do lab tests in the labs? I mean, why you didn't make a call to all these
That's just highlighting one more flaw in the system, how bureaucracy stalls things. It reminds me back in 1945, 1939, 1942, when World War II came about. And how Roosevelt, these guys were spitting out tanks like hamburgers. You know what I'm talking about? When you get the right person running the ship, this thing can move if you get the right people running it.
And you know what? And there's another thing, Robert. I told Patricia too. The first day they should have everybody in this freaking country that know how to make a ventilator making ventilators.
That's right. Like they used to make tanks back
in
World War II.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. World War II. And then that's where I got, you know, the idea from.
Yeah.
But what I'm
everybody,
saying,
men, women, children, anybody who could lift a daggone bullet was making bullets.
That's right.
But the president is saying he doesn't believe these guys are going to need all these ventilators. That's what he said. No. Anyway, man. Brothers, our time is running out.
Hey, Punchy, LeBron.
Where's that, Joe? Yes, sir.
Every major city in the United States has a college, a major university with a laboratory. Why all these people are not doing testing?
Right. You need to be president. Joseph for president, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen,
president
our time
Joseph.
Is out. We're here every Wednesday from 7 to 8. Please come back next Wednesday. We're going to be talking about some more good stuff. But right now, our time has run completely out. Wow.
And the ear blowns are gone, but that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, they're gone, bro. They're gone.
There you go.
We out here, brother.
Hey, Neil. Get your
coffee. God bless you, brother. That's right.
Remember, can't cough nowadays.
Not these days, bro.
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, pepper, right? You like pepper.
Huh?
Too much pepper, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. That's pepper, man. I've been cooking, you know, I cook a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Cooking, man. You know, it's like cooking around the house, man.
I am no better. Hey, boy, don't forget to tune into the show on Friday. We're going to have an interesting two ladies talking about their school teachers on how to have these kids at home and take care of them.
Okay.
Man, I forgot to tell everybody I was retired today, man. I talk about that next week, I guess. Too much going on to be talking about retiring. Everybody needs to stay retired anyway.
You know what, man? I bet you money you're going to be retired next month.
Yeah, that's a good deal, right?
Pretty,
your retirement does not expire.
I can say that. retired. I got a feeling that you'll be retired next month. We can cover that.
Absolutely.
All right, bro, I'm out.
All right, brother. Y'all have a good night,
man.
God bless you. Be safe out there. Get your mask on.